Welcome back. My guest today, Dr. Jimmy Vigo, and we are discussing his book, which will be published in August by Book Publishers of El Paso. It's titled Reckless Speculations and Twisted Thoughts, Exposing the False Conflict Between Science and Religion. The book is an 8.5 by 11, spiral bound, and it's, a good 3/4 of an inch thick. This book is not an easy read. It is filled with illustrations that, to my lay brain, are both intriguing and somewhat off-putting because I don't understand everything. But that's where your ability, not only as a scientist, but as a communicator and a teacher, come in very, very valuable. Can you explain the concepts of the book 3101?
The book is built in such a way that I take you to some fundamentals of science, mostly quantum mechanics. Mm-hmm. And once you understand some fundamentals, how is the explanation of the particles that are making this universe, not only you and me, but the whole solid universe, mm-hmm. atoms, electrons, protons, and neutrons, how do they behave at the most fundamental level, which is an explanation that takes you through waves and harmonicity that is later connected through the order in which electrons are accommodated in atoms to form the solid universe that we know of. Later on in the book, it'll take you to a union with this order, with those that have been described in antique civilizations. And I use in specific the religion of Kabbalah, the fundamental Jewish religion. I use it because I actually had a student who helped me out in putting together some research information about Kabbalah, and it was like very well organized, the way in which the Kabbalah religion, when you do a search, mm-hmm. it is very well organized and it's very rich in information. And the way in which the order of the universe is explained, it is very easy to understand how it matches the order explained like in the atomic theory.
From basic science, I mean, the things that excited me when I was just a girl in science and in what I read independently and whatnot was the realization that there is no such thing as a true solid.
That's correct.
That in our human form, we perceive things as solid or mushy or whatever we perceive, because that's the relationship between our body's mechanisms and the atomic structure,
That's correct.
Molecular structure of
yes.
stuff, and that everything is moving all the time.
That's correct.
This is part of the excitement. Also, the fascination between microcosm and macrocosm.
That's correct,
That the smallest units of existence reflect the structure.
It's actually a mirror of it, yes.
Yes, of the universe.
That's correct.
So how does all of this relate to this? Is it a particle or a wave and consciousness?
That's correct. That concept that you just mentioned about the micro being a mirror of the macro, which is a philosophical phrase from antique rolls that have been found in places in the Middle East. And it has also to do with Buddhism. There's a law called the law of correspondences, which
yes.
precisely
yes.
describes that. I have used that, not exactly in that order, but I have used it in the form to express how is it that the concept, for example, of existing in orbits is a repetitive pattern that mm-hmm. occurs from
yes.
the micro all the way to the macro. Like, for example, in the most simplest atom that we have, the atom of hydrogen, there's a single proton in the center of the atom, and there's a single electron in an orbit. People usually say, be careful with the concept of orbits, because people have a tendency to imagine elliptical shapes in orbits and all these kind of geometrical shapes, but mm-hmm. it's not exactly the same geometrical arrangement. However, the concept of being in orbits is what is common to both. So
okay.
it's common to, for example, imagine that you and I living here in Texas and the Earth is rotating every 24 hours. We are like an electron rotating around the center of the Earth, mm-hmm. just like the electron rotates mm-hmm. around the center of the atom. And the whole Earth is rotating around the Sun and the whole galaxy and so on, that we don't know exactly how many orbits, but the concept of orbits is a concept that is repetitive
yes.
from the small into the big. So that we can use that concept to say we are going to extrapolate the quantum rules that we know that explain how the electron behaves in an atom. Why I cannot use that to apply it to human life?
It's a predictable pattern.
Correct.
It becomes a pattern.
And
okay.
If you get to read my technical publications, I have mentioned in some of them that there have been some scientists in the past that are against doing these extrapolational rules, but the greater tendency is to say, yes, we can do this because we have these repetitive patterns. In the infrastructure of life, which is present across all science fields, and they are like patterns that don't change.
Yes.
They're constant all the time. How is it that we can apply quantum rules to explain human life? It's just comparing human life, which I call in my book the human electron analogy. How is it that we humans look like electrons inside an atom, and the universe is just like a huge atom for our point of view?
Yes.
So if we can compare the life of an electron and a human being on Earth, one of the first things that we can conclude immediately is that electron lives in energy levels. That's what atomic theory explains to us, which is the atomic harmonic oscillator. That's the theory that explains how electrons accommodate in certain orbits or distances from the center of the atom. So if we human beings are like electrons in orbit around a center, call it the center of the Earth, the whole universe can be considered as a vibrational universe, just that as the electron lives in distinctive vibrational energy levels inside the atoms.
Okay. I'm trying to follow. My brain is smoking slightly.
So this can be really close to, because in quantum mechanics is basically like music.
Yes. Okay.
The same way that we explain sound waves, the way that you're listening to my voice right now is because my vocal cords are vibrating accordingly.
Yes.
And that makes vibrate the air molecules next to it. And the air molecules transmit the particular vibration of my sound into your ear. Notice that the air molecules, they don't travel to your ear. In physics, when waves are transmitted through a medium, the parts of the medium don't move. What moves is the energy.
Just the wave is the transmission.
That's
not
correct. The wave bringing the energy of the sound.
I think my IQ is going up as we are speaking.
So just as the atom has three-dimensional orbital for the electron, which we chemists, everybody knows that we call it the P orbital. P orbital is a three-dimensional distribution of the energy of the electron to exist at that particular distance from the center of the atom. So we may, by analogy, compare that three-dimensional energy level for the electron to our universe. It's like we saying we live in a P-like orbital for the electron. However, the electron has the choice to jump to a higher orbital, which is called D and F, etc. And there's also orbitals that are below. And it's just basically changing the frequency of vibration of the energy that it needs to have to exist in each of these energy levels. So we can draw an analogy between humans being able to live in different energy levels, or call it universes, each one with a different vibrational signature.
I'm not sure I followed what you are saying. When you say we can live at different energy levels, it means what? And is this something that is explained in the book? Because what I found in conversation with you and what I believe makes your writing so valuable is that every time I get stuck in a corner, you're able to give me an example that brings me out
That's
of the
correct.
Corner so I can understand.
I think the last time that we talked about this, we were mentioning the musical notes, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si. Imagine that each of the notes is a universe, and our universe vibrates accordingly to one of those notes, say the re. But however, you could have a universe that is vibrates accordingly to the do.
Now,
or mi.
Would this be a parallel to, for example, there is a book, I believe it's called The Physics of Angels, and this is one of the books that I have read. I think it was Matthew Sheldrake, and I can't remember the other author. Where the supposed apparitions of angels or spirits of some form to individuals, like in the Bible, for example, and other holy texts or sacred texts, where a person was able to perceive beings at another vibrational level.
Okay.
Now, are we talking even close?
Just one thing I want to clarify that I always tell my students when I talk about this. I'm not saying that there are aliens out there. We are saying with this that there are other universal ways of living depending on how your universe vibrates. It can vibrate in different tones. Like, remember that music is based on a fundamental wave. And then we have octaves, which are the higher notes. That's the way that musical instruments work. Like, for example, I play the clarinet since I was a kid. And you can play the clarinet basically in three different levels of tones. Say the very low tones, and you open an octave, and then you have higher levels or higher vibrations.
What would be the human experience if I'm living it at do versus mi?
That is a very good question. Because for the electron in the atom living in a three-dimensional orbital, we can say that the energy of the electron is confined to a certain area. When the electron gets to jump, what we call a quantum jump or fluorescence, when the electrons actually absorb energy from an external source of light, like me putting my watch in the light and going in a dark room and I can see the fluorescence, which is the energy that electrons in the pane of the needles absorb and then letting it go. Mm-hmm. That energy that is leaving is what you see with your eyes. When the electron is in the higher level, the energy of the electron gets to be spread over a larger area. It is less confined. So as we go from a low energy level to a higher energy level, you are spreading your energy over a larger area. You are becoming more free. You are less confined.
So you're talking about the state of consciousness involved.
That's correct.
In this.
I am the kind of scientist who think that atomic theory proves that you and I have a spirit. Because of the duality, the nature of duality in matter. The fact that all the matter particles that make us, they do have a confined mass, which is called localized energy. And it also has a kind of energy that is called delocalized, which is spread over a larger area. It's less confined. So if all the matter of my body has these two kinds of energy, even if I can get to separate both of them, my solid energy of all my particles, that's my solid body. But what is the wavy body, the delocalized energy? That's when we can start mixing science and religion, because that is demonstrating to us that we do have some kind of wavy body, call it soul, your spirit, however you want to call it.
So something beyond the physical.
Yes.
My guest today, Dr. Jimmy Vigo, and if you don't want to know more, then I don't understand, because this stuff fascinates me. He is the author of a book that will be released in August by Book Publishers of El Paso. It's titled Reckless Speculations and Twisted Thoughts Exposing the False Conflict Between Science and Religion. You have various ways to find out more. One would be to email jvigo, that's J-V-I-G-O, at elp.rr.com, or you can go to bookpublishersofelpaso.com to find out exactly when the book will be released. And I believe you have an address for your research foundation.
Yes, you can write me and find me at the HVB Research Foundation, P.O. Box 13150, El Paso, Texas 79913.
Very good. It's been such a pleasure, and my brain will be smoking for a while. Thank you very much for coming in, Jimmy.
Thanks to you.